I know.
I'm all good. Hello.
Good evening, everyone.
Oh, good evening.
We'll start with Elishin Yehud. And then we're at verse 266. L'shem Yehud Kuchabariku Ishkinte Bit Hilur Hibud Hilud Hilur Himu Liakta L'shem Yude Bavate Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kanenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kanenehu. The Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parsha Lech Lecha, Pasuk 266. Tachate mi taruta dehai shemen dilela kaila raka al David Ushlomo beit barka beno manal diti viyamod. Hashemen, Ketiv Hakavaya Amod, Uktiv Katam, Shoresh, Yishai Asher Omed, Lenes Amin. And the translation. Come and see. From the awakening of this oil above, it was poured on David and Solomon, so that their sons would be blessed. How do we know this? It is in the verse, and the oil stopped, literally stood. This is analogous to what is written elsewhere, a root of Jesse that stands for a banner of the people. Because this verse alludes to David, Solomon and their descendants, who are from the root of Jesse. Then here as well, if the verse alludes to David, Solomon, and their descendants. My commentary, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I was thinking about how, I know it's not the same generation, but the idea, you remember when Jacob went back, when he crossed the Yabok River, that he went back to get the little vial of oil?
Yes.
So he knew the value of the oil. Now I see why he made a point to go do that in these
Correct.
Last two verses. Mm-hmm.
The anointing oil is extremely valuable.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's connected to parsima, to your substance. And I think Jacob was a little bit still fearful of his. You know, especially
Correct.
Knowing, you know, he was going to, well, I don't know if he knew he was going to fight the angel, but he had to face Esau.
Actually, he faced the angel of Esau, which is Satan.
Well,
that's
yeah, but then later on, he was still going to have to face Esau, you know, when he would meet him. So I don't think he had met him yet.
Correct. Verse 267. Tachate mishulchan delechem apanim divracha napkin mitaman zona lealma lavane vae Vishtach achare kanya afilu riga ada begindila istalkun birkan mitaman ufake la mevarkain al shulchan rekana kanya Deha birkam dilela la sharyan al shulchan rechanya. The translation. Come and see, just as the table of the showbread, from where all the blessings and replenishment of the world come, should not remain empty even for a moment, so that the blessings may not be removed from there. One should never recite blessings over an empty table. The blessings from above will not rest upon an empty table. My commentary, and this is why the custom is to have some lechem, some bread, on a table when one is saying the Berkat Hamazon. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, we always leave the bread uncovered. I'm just now thinking, I wonder if I should it have been covered. I remove everything except the bread that's left. You don't have to cover it.
You do not have to cover it. No. Okay. The bread doesn't have to be concealed.
Okay.
But the door to the room should be closed.
Well, the only thing is, ours is all an open area.
Then you can't close it, so worry about it.
One room opens to the other. I mean, we have a back door and we have a garage door. But the kitchen, the dining, the living area, and then the doorway leading into the hallway doesn't have a frame. It's just an archway going into the hall. So it's all open. But I have mezuzahs every place that there's a doorway.
I understand.
You know.
If you can't close it, you can't close it. Any other questions, or should I go on?
What if you're at your table and you're doing Torah study? You would still be saying a blessing over, you know, before you read the Torah, or that wouldn't be, would your Torah be considered your bread, spiritual bread?
Well, Torah is considered bread.
Okay, I was trying to think, you know, I don't ever remember ever saying a blessing over the empty table unless we were, you know, sitting at the table with our chumashes and discussing Torah, or, you know, then we would have said a blessing before we would have read the Torah. And I guess the Havdalah, the wine counts. If you're doing Havdalah at your table.
Yeah. But you're drawing a different type of energy than the energy of Havdalah. Havdalah is different than the Berkat Hamazon.
Mm-hmm. I love what the Zohar does. It makes you think of things you just took for granted and exposes them.
Yeah, that's what's important, is to not take things for granted and to be conscious of every action that you do.
Well, I think we are, but I don't think you think that it's written somewhere like this. You know, to bring it out to you.
Right.
Because I'm very self-conscious.
It makes you think about what your actions are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of the Zohar.
I'm more conscious of when I have guessed because, you know, comments that come up and they want to talk about secular things, or sometimes they'll tell a joke or something that you... You know, so I'm more conscious of it that way. That was why I tried coming up with recipes that would match the Torah portion so that at least, you know, you could bring the conversation back around the food that we were eating and the story that it goes with, you know, in the Torah or the Tanakh.
Understand. It's good to memorize a verse here and a verse there. So when people start to talk about, you know, mundane or secular things, you can bring that verse into the conversation, even if it's a non sequitur. If it doesn't make sense in the conversation, it will change the energy of the conversation. Even if you just whisper it and so the people didn't hear you, it changes the energy of the conversation.
Okay.
Verse 268. Ta hasi ma ani lidodi we al kushu kato. Ani lidodi bekad meta. Uvatar vialai teshukato anila dodi li atkana leya dukta tekadmeta uvatar vial teshukato. The translation: come and see. It is then written, I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. First I am my beloved's, and then his desire is towards me. I am my beloved's to prepare a place for him at first, by the awakening from below. And afterwards his desire is towards me. My commentary is that it's with Rabbi Ashlan's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I remember a few verses back that you commented that, and his desire is towards me, isn't usually the way it's translated. And I like to think what goes up has to come down, so wait for it, even if it tarries.
The normal translation is, I am to my beloved as my beloved is to me.
Right, that's what my ring is. I love that verse.
But this translation is telling you something very significant.
Well, I think it's saying that Hashem is really waiting for us to respond to him.
Yes. But he's saying it's even more significant than that. The energy comes because of desire.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you repeat that three times, which takes three components?
Mm-hmm. Did I repeat it three times, or the Zohar repeated it three times?
Well, the Zohar repeated it three times, but you are the vessel for the voice of the Zohar at this point?
Correct.
So it's three components, right?
Yes. We strive for the three, because the number one has everything included in it, but it's not complete until there's separation, and then it gets brought back into unity on the third step. A process takes a minimum of three steps on the spiritual level, and the fourth step is the manifestation in the physical world.
Right. So the three I'm thinking of is your
heart. Say again?
I can hardly understand. It's a very poor connection.
Yeah, I have a new phone. Sorry about that. I think it's Keter, Hakma, and Bina that's bringing down the desire.
No. The desire is in the physical world. The desire is your human desire. It brings down the energy from Hakma. The Keter has the energy also, but the energy starts essentially in Hakma. But you have to have the desire in the physical world in order to bring that desire down to completion.
Okay.
Verse 269. Davar acher ani ledodi dehat aninan shikinta la ishtachat aim hon dechai avaya ke wan diate bar nash leitaka umikrav gabe tekud shabarihu gedein shikinta sharia. Aleya hahidiki anila dodi bikad meta wial teshukato levatar ate barnash leitaka medachin leya. The translation. Another explanation for I am my beloved's is based on the understanding that the Shekhinah does not reside among the wicked. As soon as a person desires to purify himself and come close to the Holy One, blessed be He, only then does the Shekhinah rest upon him. Therefore it is written, I am my beloved's first, and then his desire is towards me. Because when a person comes to be purified, he is purified. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written. This is describing an additional spiritual law. Contemplate the pasuk to realize what the spiritual law is. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Is it reuniting Yod-Heh with Vav-Heh, with the upper world and the physical world and the upper world, with the using the frame of reference of the Tetragrammaton?
You broke up. Say it again, please.
I don't know if I can. Oh.
Go ahead and try. I know you're talking about the four-lettered name, but
right.
Say it again.
And is it meaning that because we're uniting the upper world, the Yod-Heh, with the Vav-Heh? or I should say the Vav Heh with the Yod, the lower with the upper, or the upper with the lower, with the frame of reference coming with the Tetragrammaton. I mean, there's separation if you're talking about wickedness or negativity. And so with the desire to purify yourself and start working on it, I would think that you would be bringing unity to the four-letter name. Especially since the Shekinah is the lower hay. I know what I mean inside me, but I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
I'm a little tired tonight, so maybe that's the problem. I'm not following it.
Okay.
What this verse is saying, when you have a desire to become purified, you become purified. And if you were only a different person after you became purified, you'd never have to purify yourself again. The reason you have to purify yourself again another day, another time, is because you are still the same person. Even though you've been purified, you're still the same person that became impure. The spiritual law is you go the way you want to go. If your desire is to become purified, you become purified. If your desire is not to become purified, you don't get purified. And if you're not aware, nothing's happening. You have to become conscious of your action. I want to be purified. Maybe this rock or this oil will purify me. They may. But if you're not aware that they're purifying you, they won't happen. It's the same idea with your dreams. If you don't get your dreams interpreted, they don't happen. Or they may happen, but you don't know they're happening, so it's as if they're not happening.
Well, to me, it's a daily thing.
Yes, it is a daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are purified, you have a desire to be purified, and you get purified, why do you have to get purified again? I'll put it in a different way. Someone asks you to bless them because they're not well. And you bless them. And that blessing works. So why are they still sick? They're still sick because they're not aware that you prayed for them, that you blessed them. They're not aware that it works. So people say blessings multiple times in a day, when in reality they should only say it once. Is that a little more clear?
Well, I always think I grab the 13 attributes. I know most of my things are the same thing that I have to work on all the time. You know, they're not.
That's true for all of us.
No, right. But sometimes I'm able to do the binding by striking immediately, and other times I'm not. I lose my cool. I did that for and I got sick too. I knew very well. I mean, I got exposed to the person. That was the physical, but I knew what the spiritual was, and it was because I lost my cool over two people, and I paid for it, but I knew I deserved it. I knew what the cause was, and so I used the tool of the 13 attributes, and I'm back on a path of being very conscious of it again. So hopefully the last few days I've been doing real good. So I'll try keeping it up.
We're out of time, so I also want to point out tonight's class, the Tikkun Zohar class, because I'm really tired, and tomorrow we have a longer session because it's, is it tomorrow? No, it's not tomorrow. It's next week. My mistake. So we move. But I am going to cancel the Tikkun Zohar class tonight.
Okay. If I'm able to make the class, I would like to ask about the small D that's been on my small Dalit.
Okay.
You know, I'd like for you to talk a little bit more on that. Because after the class, you know, when I read the Bedtime Shema, there was putting the Dalit with the hey, I believe. And the four death prayer. And I just don't ever remember seeing a Dalit written small. And I think we have the large Dalit in the Shema. You know, so anyway.
You have the large Dalit in the Shema. But the Dalit they're talking about is the Dalit in the leg of the hay in Hashem's name.
Okay. But Well, I saw that connection because it was the same night that you had taught it. And then when I picked up my Bedtime Shema, I saw the Dalit and the hay being together. Okay. All right. Good.
So, everyone have a beautiful evening. Shalom.
Thank you.
Okay. Shalom and thanks. Bye, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
Shalom.
Bye. Oh, bye, Brandy.